So today we're going to ask you about gambling and why, when you got into it, and for tips.
Mm-hmm. And for
is this tips? Insider trading?
Tips on gambling. Got it.
Yeah.
Is this okay? Is there like a law against this? Because I feel like there should be, you know, for like,
there's no...
like how people who work in companies can't talk about their like financial stuff.
Is this insider trading?
Insider right. trading.
There are things that I can't share with you.
Oh, man.
But I can share with you a lot of things.
I'm Emily,
and
here's the thing.
Here's the Thing is a podcast where Emily and I try things for the first time. And this season on Here's the Thing, we're having experts on. This week's expert is...
my dad, Boy Pat, which I'm so excited about. Dad, hello. Do you want to introduce yourself to the pod?
Hello. I don't know if I'm an expert, but I have been dealing at a casino for over 10 years. I started out as a poker dealer. And then I went from there into table games. So I deal blackjack, I deal roulette, what we also call carnival games, which are different games with different structures to them. And I've played poker for most of my life, probably since I was in high school. Well, not probably since I was in high school.
Uh-oh.
Gonna say, yeah, so not only is this man a professional, like he deals cards, he also just really loves to gamble, which is...
I don't actually love to gamble.
He's like, I'm not an addict.
Like, I've probably not played a slot machine in 15 years. Yeah. I almost never play slot machines. I almost never play anything but poker. So mm-hmm. I'm not really a gambler. I mean, mm-hmm. I do play poker, but I would argue the point that they're not exactly the same.
Sure. Yeah. Because, so yeah, so in today's episode, we're doing first-time gambling, because Ashley and I have never been to a casino.
Well.
And so, oh, we've been, I've never gambled at a casino. I've been to a casino. So we're going to go tomorrow and gamble at Seven Feathers Casino and Resort, but today we're here with Roy, my dad, to get tips on how to be good on that. Because... yeah. I have gambled before, but what? Just not at a casino. Like, because I played poker with my dad.
Sure,
like,
sure.
Right? But I've never...
my brother sends me, like, those little game pigeon messages, and then he'll bet money. He'll request money when I lose, which is, like, I don't think that I signed up to lose money, but here I am.
Yes. Okay, so... yeah, when did you first... like, when... what was your introduction into poker?
The first time I really watched it, I was probably like 10, 11, 12 years old. And it was my dad playing my uncles and my cousins. Mm. And I started playing cards when I was really young. I had two grandmothers who were big bridge players, but also card mm-hmm. players. And I started playing cards when I was 5. And actually had a natural talent for cards, liked it. And I still, to this day, I remember sitting at the... watching the adults, because I was like 10 and everybody else who was playing the game were in their 20s, 40s, or 50s. And mm-hmm. I was watching my cousin and I kept watching what he was doing and I kept thinking, that's stupid. That's dumb. And it was stupid. And it was dumb.
As a 5-year-old, you're like...
And so I started playing poker, God, when I was in high school. I started working as a... I went to high school in Las Vegas and I started... actually snuck into a casino and played poker before I was 21. But I started working in a casino when I was 16. And I just kind of, you know, it was around me. I was a busboy but it was around me. I started playing, the first time I really played seriously, I would say, was that I had about 20 of the busboys at the casino that I worked with playing in three different tables at my house all night long. Each guy brought about $20, and when it was all over with, I won $300, and there were no other winners.
Congratulations.
Oh my goodness.
And that's kind of when I, like, I don't know,
You were like, when it was.
I knew that I liked this game.
The adrenaline hit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're also like kind of a mathy person, right? You like math a lot.
Poker's very mathy.
And so that kind of plays into your love of it, right?
Poker is mathy. Poker is reading people, making good decisions, and I love all of that. I have a fetish for reading poker books. I probably have about 80 or 90 books in my library. I still to this day read them.
It's true. I bought him 10 poker books for Christmas.
Yeah,
But not all for me. My siblings all had me buy the 10 books, and then we split up who was giving them to him because that's all he wanted.
Yeah. Which
teach a man how to fish. Wait.
Yes.
Give a man a fish. He can have a fish. Teach a man how to play poker. He can buy all the fish in the sea.
So one of the differences between poker and a casino that offers other gambling is the poker game, if it's just 10 guys sitting or 8 guys sitting at a table and playing and they're swapping the deal, there's no house. So over time...
The house always wins.
The better player is going to win over time. He may lose a particular one. He may have a great night. He might have a bad night. But over time, he's going to win. The better player. In a casino, when the casino deals poker, they have to pay for the overhead of the casino. They have to pay. So they take a rake. They take a percentage of every pot. Generally, it's something like 10% of the pot up to a minimum or maximum of $3 or $4 or $5. So the bigger the rake, the more that's coming out of the player's pool of money. So it becomes more difficult to win. That when you get into blackjack, it's strictly a numbers. The more hands the casino gets out, the more money the casino is going to make over time, and that's the business that they're in.
Okay,
interesting.
And different games have different percentages that the house is going to take their money on.
So what you're saying is that no matter what I do, the casino is definitely going to make more money from me than I make from them.
No. Okay. I'm not saying that at all.
Aggregated.
Over time.
Okay.
Over time.
Everybody. They'll make more money.
And in that room, on a given night, it's probable that the casino is going to make money. However, like a casino will generally have like a limit to the amount of money that they'll put on a bet, like a maximum limit. So as an example, at the casino that I am at, most of their games have a $1,000 maximum bet. And the reason they do that is if you have 10 players making $10 bets on average, and one guy's making a $10,000 bet on average, if he has a hot night, he's going to just wipe out anything that they're going to lose a win on the other ones. So they're going to keep it in... They're going to keep their maximum in a range that they have enough player pool that that one person isn't crushing them. So the big gamblers are probably going to go to Vegas in the United States because they can handle the big play. They can attract 100 of those guys and offset it.
So in your experience dealing, who does the best? Like what type of person? Like do you, the people who go in and are like, I'm going to spend $100 tonight and quit at the end of the night, like when I don't have a, you know, is that the best way to not lose your money? Or
I think I'm going to really surprise you with this answer.
What?
The ones that win the most generally are pretty drunk. And they have no fear.
No self-control. Yeah, no fear.
They have no fear. Sure. And they get lucky.
Okay.
Because the
okay.
person who's
playing...
You know
what to do, Emily, tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go crazy.
So get drunk.
Okay. Are you going to
have a good time?
Home?
Get crazy.
Don't be nervous,
and
okay.
if you get lucky, you're going to make a lot of money. But it takes like, I don't know, maybe 100 or 1,000 of those other sober people losing a little bit of the time to offset that person. But that's true. I mean, it just takes a streak of luck.
Yeah.
Which is random. You have no control over it. And the thing that the drunks do well is they have no fear, so they get crazy with their betting. They start like, betting. They come in with $100. They win a few hands. All of a sudden, they're betting $200. Now they're betting $500. And they just get on a roll. And before you know it, they are up, you know, $10,000.
Out zillionaires.
Whereas the person who's playing, Yeah. Oh, yeah. Player who's playing $5 at a time. He's not going to get that lucky.
Huh.
Okay, so you're telling me to go big.
Win big or lose big.
This saying, go big or go home.
Yeah.
That's where it comes from.
Or go home broke.
You'd be surprised at how many... Yeah. Yeah. You'd be surprised how many sayings come from gambling.
Interesting.
Go big or go home.
Like, up the ante. I used that in a paper one time, and my English teacher commented, she wrote, please do not use gambling lingo in your, like, official paper. And I was like, gambling lingo?
Huh?
He's on a roll. It's a dice. He's on a long roll of the dice. He hasn't crapped out. He's continuing his roll. He's on a roll. That's it. Yeah.
Interesting.
There are a lot of them.
Interesting. How fun. I asked my boss for advice because he asked me what I was doing this weekend. I was like, well, I might go to a casino. And he was like, okay, my advice is just set your limit and then keep upping the limit when you win. And I was like, huh? Okay.
Here's my version of that advice. Uh-huh. And I think this is really, really good advice. Seriously.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I call it giving yourself an exit strategy.
Oh, okay. Sure.
So, like, let's just say you go in with $200 and you feel like, I'm going to go have a good time.
Uh-huh.
I got $200. If I lose the $200, okay, no big deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now you go out there and you lose the $200. Your exit strategy is now it's time to stop gambling.
Go.
But let's just say you get up to, like, 500 in winnings, right?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Well, now what's a good exit strategy? How about...
I'm gonna leave
with $250 in my pocket. So I'm leaving a winner.
Okay.
So I'm at bottom end established.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm playing on that $500. And I go back to $250 and I get down to $250. I walk out the door, I'm smiling, I had a good time at the casino, and I actually won money. I can tell everybody I won.
Uh-huh.
Now you get $500 and it's time for like a new So you're at that 500. Now let's just say you go to 750, right? New exit strategy might be 500. I'm out the door, and I'm gonna keep going. And so you give yourself your bottom. That's my exit strategy. And then there's no limit on how high you can go with that exit strategy, right? You could get up to $20,000. Is it going to happen? Likely? Not very likely.
I was going to say, this requires
but
me being
it could
green,
happen.
Not
with,
just
with,
leaving
with
when
giving
I
your, yeah, with giving yourself the upside, great potential, and limiting your downside, that's a good exit strategy, and it's a good strategy for having a good time and enjoying yourself.
Okay. Okay, so walk us through. Tomorrow we get to Seven Feathers Casino and Resort. What do we do? What do you think we should do?
So you're going to have the choice to play slot machines. Slot machines.
No
most,
fun.
Most people in there will play slot machines. Slot machines will have like a whole range of possible win scenarios. You could win a lot of money. Like you're not
going to
win $32,000 or $100,000 generally on one roll in the table games section.
Uh-huh.
So there's that there. But over time, that's the money maker for the casino. They're going to make a lot of money. So. Mm-hmm. Potential high variance, but generally you're going to put your money in there and it's going to feed you back some and then eventually take it.
Okay.
If you go to the table games, you're going to have the premier game, obviously, is blackjack.
Okay.
Blackjack is pretty much the most common game.
I can count to 21. I think I can play
that. I was going to say, blackjack is 21, right?
Blackjack is 21.
Thing. Okay. Okay. Uh-huh. I'm ready.
What is the difference between a blackjack and a 21?
It's a jack and an ace.
No.
I don't know.
So an ace counts as a 1 or an 11, and a 10, any 10 jack, king, queen count as a 10 point. Mm-hmm. However, a blackjack is when your first two cards that come out with some combination of that, like a king and an ace is a blackjack. Mm-hmm. However, if you have two cards and you have like a 12 count and you hit a 9, the point
21.
Count is now 21.
Sure.
That's a 21.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The difference between a blackjack and a 21 is a blackjack gets paid up front. Mm-hmm. I mean, it gets paid when your turn comes around to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
And you get paid what's called time and a half. So if your bet's $5, you get paid $7.50. If your bet's $10, you get paid $15. So 1.5 times your original bet. 21 does not... get paid anything extra. It's just the count of 21. You're not going to lose with the 21. The worst you're going to do is push, which is a tie, and not get paid. And a blackjack, if you have a blackjack and the dealer has a blackjack, then you won't get paid either.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Really.
The house always wins.
What a scam.
You don't lose.
Yeah, yeah. So you get your money back. Everyone gets their money back.
You push. It's a tie.
You tie.
He doesn't take your money. He doesn't pay you.
Okay.
Or she.
Okay.
Half of our, most of our, more women dealers than men. I shouldn't have been so sexist.
Stop. Statistically, do you think for our odds that Emily and I should play at the same table or at separate tables?
Makes absolutely no difference.
But I feel bad for stealing Emily's.
You're playing against the house. You're not playing against each other.
We're not. So if Ashley got a blackjack and I got a blackjack, the house would have to pay both of us?
Correct. You're not playing. So you sit at a table. Maybe there's five other players at the table.
And we're all playing the
dealer. All five of those are playing against the dealer. Or really the house. You're not playing against the dealer.
Sure.
The dealer's a really nice person.
Sorry.
They're smiling and there to help
you. And I'm
you.
Angry at you and I'm directing all my frustration and throwing away my money directly to you.
Correct.
And I'm sorry about it. Yeah. I don't mean it.
So that's why, because the dealer really is kind of acting as an intermediary between you and the house. Mm-hmm. That's why they will give you the instruction of like what's the best play for you. Because they don't really, it's not in their advantage to the house to make more money. Uh-huh. And in truth, dealers make most of their money on tips.
Right.
So they want you to do good because if you're winning, you're going to tip them more than if you're losing.
So when you go to the casino, you give money, you go up, it's like at an arcade for children. So you like go up and you get your
for adults
tokens, right? You pay money
you get
for
chips.
Your chips.
Yep.
And then, like, when you tip the dealer, you tip in chips?
Yep.
Okay. Just making sure we know that. Yep. Okay.
So you walk up to a table, they say you give them $100. They're gonna ask you, what do you want in the way of chips? So they're asking you, like, what your chip value would be.
Oh.
And they're like, if you give them $100, they're probably going to say, do you want all red? Red chips are $5 each.
Okay.
So you're going to get a stack of 20, $5 red chips. Green chips in our casino are $25. This is pretty common. White chips are $1. Mm-hmm. So if you're at a game, so if you play blackjack or you play pretty much any of our table games, they have the actual game itself, a bet, and then they offer bonus bets. And bonus bets are like special bets. Mm-hmm. As an example, a bonus bet could be like we have a game that's three card poker and you bet three cards. You kind of have a variety of bets you can place. The primary bet is you're playing against the dealer in the best three card hand. He's going to deal you or she three cards and going to deal the dealer's hand three cards. And then the best of the best hand of the three cards, best poker hand wins.
Do they do any of the flipping that happens in like two Texas Hold'em in three card poker?
Well, there's a carnival game, again, that's called the Ultimate Texas Hold'em. There's a couple of variations, but the Ultimate Texas Hold'em is the primary one.
Is that?
And so you're not playing.
Seven Feathers?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good.
You're not playing.
Let's play that.
You're not playing traditional Texas Hold'em, but you're playing against the dealer's hand, and the best hand is going to win. And there's a kind of a spread in terms of how that betting plays out. And again, you have bonus options. Like in our Ultimate Texas, we have a bet that you can bet that you're going to get three of a kind or better. And the better the hand, the better the payout.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you want to show us?
Scary.
This man has brought some resources to our recording. What do you got over there?
So what I brought was, it's a basic strategy guide, which is a pretty common used for most players.
Yes.
So basic strategy would give you the highest without counting cards, which I won't go into. I might go into for you if you ask me to.
Right.
But basic strategy would say, okay, your two cards are dealt.
Uh-huh.
The dealer's two cards are dealt.
Uh-huh.
Your two cards go face up. Everybody sees your count.
Uh-huh.
And the dealer has one up and one down. He gets one card up, one card down. So basic strategy would say, based on what your two card count is and the dealer's one card face showing, you're going to respond in a certain way.
Yeah,
you can hit the hand. Uh-huh. You can stand pat, uh-huh, or you can double down, or you can, mm-hmm, split. So hitting would be like, no, if you had a 12, uh-huh, you had a 12 count, like say you had a 4 and an 8 or a 6 and a 6, you have a 12 count, mm-hmm, and the dealer has a 10 showing, you would want to hit. However, if the dealer had a 6 showing, mm-hmm, and you had a 12, mm-hmm, you would want to stand. Mm-hmm. Because if the card comes up that's a 10 card, you would bust, mm-hmm, and you would prefer to let the dealer bust. Mm-hmm. So you would want to hit if you had a weak hand, mm-hmm, dealer had a strong hand showing, mm-hmm, you would want to stand if it was the other way around. Mm-hmm. Other options are doubling down.
Mm-hmm. If so that's just doubling your bet.
You're doubling your bet. Okay. You get, mm-hmm, one card. The dealer, let's just say the dealer is showing a 6, which is the player's best card for a dealer to have, because he's most likely to lose that hand. Because, mm-hmm, a 6 is just a weak, weak hand. Yeah, if he hits, he's likely to bust. But it's still... Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you had an 11, like a 6 and a 5, and, mm-hmm, the dealer showed a 6, you're way favored to win with one card coming to your hand, because you're going to hit a 10 count. Mm-hmm. Like 5 of the cards are going to be right there for your,
right,
maximum hand. King. Sure. And he's likely to bet. So you want to double up. So you're gonna double. Anytime you double, you're going to put your bet to the left of your original bet. Mm-hmm. And then
do you have to get another card?
You're going to get one card only.
You have to?
You can double down. In some casinos, you can double down any 2 cards. Uh-huh. Some casinos won't allow you to double down when you have a breaking hand. A breaking hand is if it hits a 10 and it goes, mm-hmm, over 21, that would be a breaking hand. Like a 14, if it doubled down, mm-hmm, you hit a 10, it's 24, you break. You can't break it in a lot of casinos. In my particular casino, they'd prefer you to, because this is kind of like throwing away money. So yeah go for money. It. If you
yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. And then the other thing, you can split your hand and double your hand. And one of the things that drives experienced players crazy is when rookie players have like a 20, 2 tens, mm-hmm, and the dealer has a bad hand. Maybe not even a terrible hand, but maybe they have a 7 showing. So you're figuring them for a 17. Mm-hmm. It drives players crazy when... They split their tens because you have a really good hand and you're probably, uh-huh, going to win. And now, uh-huh, you get a 4 and then you get a 5 and then the dealer, mm-hmm, hits a card and he makes a hand and just drives, uh-huh, people crazy. The thing I'm going to tell you...
Don't do that. Okay.
That's gonna piss people off at your table. But yeah, it doesn't really statistically change anything for them. So
okay.
They shouldn't be getting so upset, but they just do.
Let them mind their own business.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's your hand. You get to play it any way you want.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's a basic strategy. And a lot of players, when they're new to the game, mm-hmm, they just want to bring that with them. Or they want to learn it before they come to play. So if you want to learn it before you come to play, sit down with a deck of cards and just start dealing 2 hands. And then look at it. I got a 6. The dealer's got a 10. What do? I hit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then some of those things are really, really, really like close calls. Like the example I just gave you, 16.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's almost a toying car. It's not going to be the end of the world. For the house, mm-hmm, they have a small, small advantage. I mean, you're going to lose that hand overwhelmingly. Sad. Either way you play it.
Oh, okay.
But if you hit
Good
it.
To hear.
But if you hit it.
Uh-huh.
It reduces that slightly. In fact, mm-hmm, 16 against a 10 is almost not. It's 1 penny out of $5 advantage for the house if you don't hit it.
Okay.
So what is the... Is there a general rule for like, okay, my hand is like this number, I should not hit anymore? Like, if
yeah.
I'm at
yeah.
like
17,
I probably shouldn't.
17 is the number that almost no matter what the dealer has, if you have a hard 17, mm-hmm, that means you don't have an ace to make a 17. Because if you, mm-hmm, have a 6 and an ace, you have a 17, but it's called a soft because you could hit it and not bust, and not bust. And you could hit a 2, a 3, a 4, and have a really good hand. You could hit a 10 and have the same hand. So generally, if you have a soft 17, you will hit the soft 17 or double if the dealer has a bad one. So the general rule is you don't hit a hard 17.
Okay.
The general rule, if the dealer has a 7, 8, 9, 10, jack, king, queen, or an ace, and you have less than 17, you just keep hitting until you either bust or make a hand higher than the 17.
Okay.
So if they have, that was
if they have a 7, 8, 9, 10, jack, king, queen, ace, and you have less than a 16 or less, you just hit until you either
keep going,
make a hand to 17 or more, or bust.
Yeah, because they're going to hit no matter what.
Yeah. If they have a 6 or less, and you have a 17, or 17 to 21, you're going to stay. Or if you have less than a card that a 10 would make your hand bust, you'll hit. So if they have a 6, and you have a 10, you're going to double, right?
Yeah.
Or you're going to hit a 6, 7, or an 8. Because you can't bust. So if you can't bust and the dealer has one of those bustable hands, you'll hit. Otherwise, you don't.
Okay.
6 and 7 are kind of magic. Above 7, you're going to make a decision. Depending on, you just ask yourself, what does the dealer have? Are they likely to bust? If they're likely to bust, you're going to hold. If they're likely not to bust, or they're likely that they have a hand, if they have a 10 underneath, then you're going to hold. Make sense?
Makes sense.
Okay. Blackjack is pretty close to your best odds in the house on the table games.
Okay.
If you play to basic strategy, the house is going to have a 1% to 2% advantage over you. If you play really bad and you're drunk and you just do crazy stuff, you might win a lot because you might get lucky.
Yep.
But overall, you're going to reduce your odds down. So basic strategy just gives you the best odds that you can get generally without going into card counting, and that's a whole different animal.
Yeah.
I'm not here to count cards.
Don't put that on us.
Yeah.
Okay,
I thought that wasn't allowed. I thought that was illegal.
So if you're playing blackjack,
don't,
and you get this crazy hand, I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Wait, we're not talking about counting cards, are we?
No. Don't confuse us. No, okay, I'm just going to say this. So if you go to play jack, you could actually bring a basic strategy card with you. And you can just look at it. Or you can say, if you just say this magically to the dealer, what would you do in this instance? They'll tell you, they'll give you basic strategy
the whole time. We're just
what should I do?
yeah what should I do? What would you do?
Okay, they're nice people.
Yeah
Do I tell them that I know you, or is that not cool?
Go for it.
Okay,
go for it.
I'm Roy's daughter.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a name tag.
Yeah.
Be nice to me.
I would kid them because most dealers really are, well, they're all, I shouldn't say most, they're all really super cool people. No question about that. No. Most of them are really nice people. Most of them are just like tables that are fun, that people are having a good time, that people are enjoying themselves. They want you to enjoy yourself. It's just more fun to deal to somebody who's enjoying themselves than somebody who's whining.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you gave me another bust here. Stop. You know, that kind of thing. You don't want.
Yeah, we'll make sure to have a good time. Yeah, that's good advice. Kid
them. Yeah. And like I would just say to them, I joke with players all the time. I like to joke with players. I like to keep it light and fun. But like you could go up to them and you could say, "Oh, I'm Roy's daughter," and whoever they are, right? You go, and he told me you were the worst dealer in the building, and then tell him you're kidding, something like that.
Dad.
But you just have fun.
Dad jokes.
Have fun with him.
Some dad jokes.
Yep.
Good.
Oh, I was gonna say I'm Roy's daughter. He told me you would let me win.
You could tell them that.
Yeah.
And see if that works.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Okay.
They would probably tell you that I tell that to everybody who sits down at my table.
That's funny. Wait, I have one final question.
Yeah. Okay.
What would you suggest our limit be?
Oh, yeah.
This is I guess, a value
screen. Well, knowing my budget better than anyone.
And knowing that mine is similar to Emily's.
It's pretty tough to go into a casino nowadays, particularly on a weekend or a Friday night, without $100 to really have as a budget, a minimum budget. Okay. But $100 should be able to, like, particularly on the off hours, on a weekend. Like, if you're on a really, like, if you're there New Year's night, that might get you 4 bets, you know what I mean? But if you're there on a normal time, that'll probably get you.
What about 9 a.m. on Sunday?
9 a.m. on Sunday is the best time because it's going to be the lowest that they've got that they're going to have.
Okay, good.
Yes, that's what I like to hear.
Yeah. And I'd mix it up a little bit. I'd play play a little bit of roulette just for fun, like maybe 20, 30, 40 bucks or something like that. And then play some blackjack.
That's all my money.
Did you just hear mom?
No slots?
No.
Mother's in the background. She's annoyed that we're not walking right now.
That would be my wife.
Okay. So
we'll have her on next.
Yeah. So we'll be back to record how our experience goes. But I'm excited about this one. So
yes, me too.
I would actually have loved to have gone with you.
I know.
To another casino. I can't.
I know.
You can't go to your own.
I can't deal it. I can't play at my casino. They don't let me.
We'll have
Why don't we go to Washington? Is that the closest next one?
There's one.
Oh, we could go to La Coste or one of the other ones.
Yeah.
Lesser casinos in the state of Oregon.
We'll have to. I'm excited to gamble with you. We'll have to do that soon. Once we're back to traveling around. Which we kind of are. But anyways. Okay. Yeah. We'll be back. Thanks, Dad.
You're welcome.
Okay, here we are at Stanton Park, in Canyonville, Oregon.
Yep.
We've just spent like an hour and a half maybe, in the Seven Feathers Casino and Resort. And
we're huge losers.
Not true. That's not true. Ashley won so much money.
Okay, I won $500, $516.20. And separately, 55 cents. But only after I spent $140. And I set my limit at spending $100.
Yeah, so she went over her limit, didn't use her exit strategy. But I was rewarded for it. And IDK, because I lost all my money and I like didn't go get more cash because I was like using my exit strategy as we talked about. And And then Ashley won $500. So
yeah,
now
I'm thinking for bad behavior.
I should go back in and spend $40 over my limit.
I just don't know. I just don't know about that.
Oh my gosh, guys. But like, okay, incredible self-restraint from Ashley Chan. I cannot imagine doing this. We like lost all our money at table games.
Yeah, it was awful. So I spent $20 at the slots to begin with, you know, as a little appetizer and a amuse-bouche. Awful. I got my 55 cents, you know, so I lost $19.45.
And then we played table games, had a ton of fun. We'll talk about that. And then
so fun.
Lost all our money. And then she was like, okay, well, on the way out, let's just hit the slots one more time. And I was like, slots aren't fun. I'm not putting any more money in them. And then she won $516 on a slot machine. And then and then said, okay, we're done. And then we left. And she didn't spend any of that $516.
That had to be the exit strategy.
That was the exit
strategy.
There was
nothing else. Yeah.
Crazy.
It was easier for me to spend. So you had to pull money out of the ATM.
Yeah.
I just had cash on me. And so I was like,
it's all fake
I guess
money.
I could spend all of the cash that I had in my wallet that I didn't know about. And it worked out. So for future advice.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Don't do that. But tables were really fun.
Yeah, we played blackjack, which really got my adrenaline going.
There was one point where I had broken even.
And
I was like, I feel like I should leave. And then I stayed and lost all my money.
Same. I hit the same point, which was tragic. Ashley stayed in for longer than me. Ashley truly is a better gambler than me. I'm so sorry, Dad.
That's okay.
There was one woman, though, who came up. We were playing blackjack, and she came up.
Yeah. And she put down probably, she put down $100 cash.
And then all of her, like, receipt thingies of money.
Yeah.
The like, vouchers.
All the vouchers she had won from slots, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And
should I have done that?
I can put it all on one for $500. Anyways, and she like didn't say anything, and it was kind of weird. And she threw her player's card down.
Yeah,
because I think you get points for that. And then, yeah, and then like played one round. She put it all down at once.
Mm-hmm.
Played two different rounds at once. And lost both of them.
It was so sad. And the reason why I think she was so upset was because it was she didn't even get to like hit or anything because. The card down was an ace.
Yes.
And then he did the curtain, and it was a blackjack.
Yes.
And so she just lost all her money.
She just lost all her money. And
without
just,
being able to do anything. It was so sad.
Cursed and walked away. Cursed. I felt so bad.
It was so awful. Sad. They had to call her back to get her player's card.
Imagine losing that much money. I mean, I just did, but all at once. Like,
I'm so sorry.
In 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Truly a wealthy... person's sport.
I know I as I was in there I was like I can never do this again. I cannot spend this much money again until I'm a rich person. I can't wait to be a rich person and come back and do this because this is so fun. Wait.
I won what I make in a week at that slot machine.
That's so fun for you.
I cannot. It's upsetting. Why is that allowed
anyway? I told her on our way out the only way, because honestly awful to think about the fact that we just won all that money, or she just won all that money for nothing. But like the only way we could have been happy is if we had made back the exact money that we spent, because that would have been truly fun.
If I made 140, I would have been like, I was here for the experience. This was good for me.
So fun. Now she's an addict. Now I'm
now again like that Percy Jackson scene when they accidentally spend 3 months in that casino. It's me and my whole life. Welcome
pretty to the new Ashley.
Look who you've enabled. The monster you've created.
It would be so easy to go in there and blow away your life's savings.
Yeah.
I'm so scared.
Don't be scared, please.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But so fun.
Have I ever told you that my dad's almost won the like... What is that? The number one? The lottery?
The lottery? The jackpot?
Like 3 times.
Oh.
He was always like that last number off.
Oh no.
It's horrific. I'm pretty sure that it's made him an addict, so.
And that's why he keeps
never win. Exactly. I can never win.
Yeah, that's kind of funny because my dad, like, he plays. Is that called the jack? What is that?
The lottery, I'm pretty sure. The mega millionaire.
Yeah.
Whatever.
He plays that, like, with some regularity. Mm-hmm. Not an addict, but like he said.
Eventually. Statistically.
Like you said, it's not as fun for him because it's not like skilled. It's not as fun as poker for him, gambling, whatever. But my mom, who doesn't like gamble, loves buying those things and just picturing what she's gonna do with the $1 million.
Yeah,
those things are pretty fun. Mm-hmm. You spend like $5 and get to fantasize for like 10 minutes about how good your life would be.
Worth it.
It's a good trade-off.
Should we get one on the way home?
Oh, good idea. You should get one. You're lucky.
No, thank you. When I literally was about to double my bet on that random one where I was feeling lucky. I literally had the moment where I was like, I am feeling lucky. And then I lost. And I was like, okay, I'm never gonna try to, like, hold on to that feeling ever again.
Yeah, no.
It's no good. It's not true. It's not real.
Oh, my gosh. Other thing that Dad was right about are... dealers were also kind and so nice.
They all taught us every game that we played. I would have asked the roulette person, but they were teaching somebody else.
Yeah.
I think that people just go in on Sunday mornings to learn.
And that's what I was thinking. I was like, well, yeah, we need to be here on Sunday morning. Like, that would have been very stressful for me if it was like a Saturday night.
And there were people around.
And it was like,
it wasn't just us and maybe one other person at a table at a time.
Yeah.
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 I agree.
No, we only had 2 other people at tables with us, and both of them left after 1 round, so we're
pretty fun. That's true. I guess we're fun to be around.
We're fun to be around.
What I would like to say.
I cry.
The cheat sheet, I don't know.
Yeah, it almost feels like you should just go with your gut.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I guess we're just saying, I guess the cheat sheet, what it shows you is that you're bound to lose. Like,
yeah.
We played, because we played pretty statistically, like, how we should have, and we still lost.
Right. Yeah, and I feel like when I'm playing 21 with my family, I never think about what other people have.
Yeah.
I'm always like, how close? what are the numbers of me busting? So when I do my statistical analysis, it's only my numbers, which is really easy math, and not taking into account if they're gonna bust or not. So
yeah. Oof. Okay.
Oof.
Big adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
Should we do thank yous?
Yeah. Thank you, Will.
Thank you, Will.
Will, you're a king. And Rachel, and thank Rachel. You for taking over after Will left.
Rachel, you're great, too.
Fantastic. A king. Rachel.
Kind of forgot to tip you at first, but then I went back to tip you, which was pretty awkward, but thank you for being cool about it.
Imagine. They just say, no, I don't want to take your money.
Thank you, Sam and Catherine and Eleanor Romanaggi, for playing 21 with me this week to prep.
And you set her hopes too high.
You set my hopes too high. I killed you guys. I took all your money in quarters, and then I took it to the casino. And
they said, absolutely not.
And then I lost so much. So sad.
And this time it was real money.
Yeah. So sad.
Sadder. Thank you to my dad for always being like, me, when I'm like, want to play cards? He's always like, okay, 21. And I'm like, this is not a card game. This is not Uno. This is weird. But it has helped me count to 21 and do math for myself in my head.
Yes.
It does not help for other people.
Thank you, Ashley, for continuing to count my cards for me, because I kept coming up with the wrong number. Because I'm bad at mental math.
It's bad. It's no good. It's fine.
Her and Will would be like, I'd be like, okay, I have 14. And they'd both be like, 16. I'd be like, huh? 16 what? And I made multiple wrong bets because of that.
It's fine. It's the adding the number quietly to yourself and then looking at the cheat sheet wrong is what does it for me. Thank you, Mrs. Connick, my first grade teacher, for teaching me how to add.
Yeah, thank you for my fourth grade teacher, who we played 21 in her class a lot because we're like, wait, so we're like an adding game.
Oh, very good.
I don't think we bet, but... maybe what, we did.
You're like banana and your PB&J?
Our erasers that we got at the book fair.
Okay.
Yeah, and then, yeah, thank you to my dad for instilling a love of cards in me.
So thank you to Rick Riordan for making me scared of casinos.
So scared of casinos.
So scared of casinos.
Yeah.
I'm terrified of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And thank you to the Xbox poker game that we had when I was like 6 that taught me how to play poker.
There you go.
Me and Ian used to get up at like 6 a.m.
to play
and we weren't like
Xbox poker.
And we weren't supposed to like wake up our parents, you know, when we got up that early. So we would go into the Xbox room and play poker.
The Xbox's room. You would leave Ian and Beth's room and Emily's room to go to the Xbox's room. The three of you shared a room.
We shared a room.
The Xbox got its own room.
Oh no. That good. Actually, that house Ian and I did share a room. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so we would leave our room, I guess, together. And then go to the Xbox room. Yeah. Fun.
Yeah. And I guess thank you to Buffalo Gold. Oh, thank you to Vivian for giving me the best advice I've ever heard. And the only thing that made me walk out a winner, which is to play Buffalo Gold machines because they give you free spins. And that is truly how I won. It gave me 38 free spins.
38 free spins, and she won $500 in the free spin part. She like, didn't even pay for the...
Insane.
Crazy.
So crazy. I really should have done one more to win 500. It's four. It's fine.
Good job. Not.
Thank you.
Again, I can't believe your self-control.
Thank
you. I probably would have lost that $500 in a second.
There's no way. You would have? You would have just kept going?
Well, I would have kept playing a little bit. I probably would have set my limit at, like, okay, I'm gonna... like, make my money back.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I don't know, but that's stupid.
That's scary.
Because you made so much money.
Yeah, I made so much money that it felt like it wasn't worth it. Like, if I won $30, I'd be like, eh, okay. But $500.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Very good. I think that's good for this segment. Mm-hmm. Dad, you know how we do thank yous at the end of our episodes?
Okay.
Do you have anyone to thank in your past who got you into your love of poker? And your job?
Well, I would probably say I would thank my grandmothers for my love of cards.
Huh. Which, in turn, I would thank my grandmother for my love of cards. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was playing cards when I was really young. And I don't know, I like to play poker. I like poker players. I really do.
Thanks
I
to
like
all the poker dealers.
I like the environment of the room.
What's the... I think there's a lot of poker players you talk about. But what's the one guy with the funny name that you say is, like, a really good poker player?
They all have funny names. I don't know.
Never mind.
I don't know which guy.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. So that definitely that.
All of them.
All of them.
Every single funny named person out there.
Yeah.
You know who you are.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, Dad, for being on this episode. Yes.
And thank you, Roy.
Okay. And thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. So fun.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, it actually makes up for it because this week last week I accidentally submitted my timesheet for this week for 0 hours.
So perfect. So the casino paid you instead of...
It paid me this week, yeah. Instead of my actual employer.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. good. You can let them know.
Yeah, I'll let them know that they don't need to pay me for my 38 hours. It's fine. I'll let it go.
Very good.